This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All of your ears are belong to us.
On this episode of Brennan and Jesse's 8 Bits, Elder Scrolls Online will work on your old crap computer.
Are Marvel and DC finally making an imprint on video games? Maybe? Kind of? Not really.
And Activision opens their wallets and opens their hearts to the members of Infinity Ward. Stay tuned.
Start.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Brennan and Jesse's 8 Bits. I'm your host, Jesse Miller, the geek with the most, and joining me as always is Brandon, man with the 8-bit mustache, Williams.
It's 32 bits now.
Really? You upgraded. That's amazing. Oh, yeah. Did you get the 32X thing, the stick in the top of your head?
I had to. But it's running on disks now, so that's good.
Well, that's definitely the medium of tomorrow.
Maybe. I'm going to stick with cartridges for a little longer.
You know, cartridges weren't really that bad. You know, if we could have, especially with today's flash memory, you know.
Well, I mean, with flash memory the way it is, if you want to consider that a cartridge, that's what we're going to go back to, I feel. I feel like we're going to go to chips next.
Oh, yeah.
There's not really another step in between.
Well, look at all the downloadable games going to memory cards. Don't tell me a memory card isn't a cartridge. It's basically just a multi-game cartridge at this point.
Yeah, portable gaming. I mean, you can say what you want about the PSP, but obviously it seems to me that the cartridges are what's dominating it. Because I consider DS games that are those chips, I consider those cartridges as well.
Oh, well, yeah. And portable gaming cartridges make sense because they're so much more durable.
Yes.
You're going to be jostling that thing around anyway. So... anyway.
Joss Whedon it all over the place.
Joss. How about that? I read a whole book about him recently, and let me tell you, wow. That was a long book. Whew. You can look for the review up on the website.
Yeah. I read the review.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's a very good book, but man, you really got to want to dive into the technical details of everything. It analyzes a lot. So anyway, back to gaming news. First thing on our list, and I will apologize in advance. The gaming news is a little thin this week because E3 happens next week. So everyone's holding their breath to see what happens. And frankly, when the gaming industry holds their breath, we have to hold our news.
Oh, I couldn't do it any longer.
Exactly. See, right? They just need to breathe. Just breathe and let some stuff out. Let it flow.
It's like that Pearl Jam song. Just breathe.
Well, you mean Rape Me? Isn't that? No.
That's Nirvana.
Yeah, I know. I'm not that bad. But, you know. Anyway. So, first thing on our list, I don't know if I would assume you've read about this. I was very excited to hear about the feature this is bringing to one of our favorite games, Skyrim. It's going to be getting a new patch. It's patch 1.6, and it gives you the big thing that everyone is just blowing their minds about is mounted combat. Being able to shoot an arrow or swing a sword from the top of your horse.
Now, here's the thing.
Tell me you haven't wanted to do that.
Well, my problem is I don't think I've rode a horse longer than 5 seconds the entire length of that game.
Really?
I really don't feel like I'm going to get anything out of it. Yeah, because running the horse is not much faster than running.
Well, yeah, but a horse is so much cooler.
I don't know. I just love the idea of just running and then doing that burst every once in a while.
Yeah, There are times that I switch into lycanthropy. I turn into a werewolf, and you can run really fast if you do that.
Yeah.
So that's handy. But still, man, I got Shadowmare. I mount that sucker and just fly across the landscape. The only problem is...
I mount that sucker, and I just...
I mount.
Sound awkward if I don't finish this sentence.
Yes. But, you know, Sorry, a little blinky, flashy picture caught my attention, as it was probably supposed to. Anyway, the thing I like about it is, since I ride Shadowmere all the time, I'm an archer. So being able to... I wouldn't use a sword off the horse very often, because I'd rather jump down and actually fight. But if I have my bow, man, I'll just stop the horse, take a shot... Get them every time. Put an arrow in their knee.
You'll make them tell stories of that.
I will. You'll be telling stories about the arrow in your knee.
Forever.
Forever and ever and ever.
You'll never drop that story.
So, yeah, if you're interested in mounted combat, you know, be watching for the patch 1.6. I don't believe it's actually out on 360 yet, although it is... a beta for the PC. So, if you're in the PC beta program, you can grab it. I can't imagine this taking very long to come out. So, yippee! Next thing.
Yeah, I was saddened because everyone was so excited, but to me it was just like, okay.
You felt really awkward.
Yeah, I was like, I don't do that, but, you know, whatever.
You are all dumb.
I was going to say, this is not a, obviously not for me.
I am not your target audience.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, next on our list, another piece of Elder Scrolls information. This one, I really like, not necessarily for me, but just because it, you know, it's a nice thing overall. Elder Scrolls Online, we're getting little pieces of information about it at a time. You know, they won't release everything at once. But, hey, maybe they will next week. You never know. It is E3. So, one of the great things about World of Warcraft, and what keeps it having such a huge base, besides them jacking you in the neck with opiates while you play it and getting you hooked like a sex slave in Asia, is the fact that it can run on such old or antiquated hardware. You know, it runs on Windows machines of all shapes and sizes. You don't have to have a lot of hardware to run it. You don't even have to have a lot of bandwidth to run it for your internet connection. It runs on Macs, and again, you don't have to have a lot of bandwidth. You don't have to have a lot of hardware. But then, you know, if you do have a Supreme gaming machine, you can crank all the settings up and it'll look gorgeous. So they have cut out a huge swath of PC gamers just by having the ability to go that far back and that far forward. Elder Scrolls Online has been confirmed that it will be doing basically the same thing. They're going to be using what's called the Hero Engine. That's their graphics engine. And ZeniMax Online Studios, you know, they're the ones... They license the Hero Engine for Star Wars, The Old Republic. And, you know, It's basically I don't know what engine World of Warcraft uses, but it's kind of looking like the exact same thing. So you can only do a graphics engine so many ways, I can only imagine. Basically, the makers of Elder Scrolls Online, Bethesda, are saying that they want this game to be able to run on a PC from today forward and from today 5 years back. That's a lot. I mean, 5 years. I mean, in the PC market, it's a pretty big chunk, you know?
Just looking at laptops, 5 years ago to today, it'll be ridiculous. The difference is insane. Exactly. It's about 6 pounds in difference.
Pretty much. Think about that. 5 years. What is that? That's 2007. I mean, that was Core 2 Duos, I think, at that point, is what you were getting. And I think...
Yeah.
I think you were on Core 2 Duo, and I think that, let's see, as far as graphics cards are concerned, I think NVIDIA was in there, I want to say 7000 series, and right now they've gone from 8 to 9000. back to 500, and you know, we're looking down the barrels of 600 at the moment. So, you know, that's a pretty good chunk of space. So if they can pull this off, they're going to cut out a huge just following between the fans of Elder Scrolls in general and people who are interested in the game, who find out, oh, no other games run on my laptop, but World of Warcraft and Elder Scrolls Online do. Why don't I just buy them? So, hopefully they pull it off.
It'll be nice. When they do stuff like that, I always wonder, like, what their real goal is. But I guess, I don't know. I don't understand computer anything anymore.
Have you just given up?
Well, most of the time, yeah. Anytime, it's like every time something happens and I think it's a progression and it doesn't do just amazing, and then they're like, well, it didn't do amazing, we're scrapping the entire idea. I'm like, why don't you just improve what's the problem with that idea and, you know, keep it going? But they never do that, so I don't know. I thought netbooks were going to be the thing of the future. I mean, I thought there's going to be a netbook in every kid's hand, and this is what's going to be throughout school, and apparently I'm an idiot because they did not jump on the way that I was expecting them to whatsoever. So, I don't know. I'm apparently just terrible at
you have no prediction
that kind of stuff. Yeah, I have no future view.
This here Betamax is going to be the greatest thing ever.
All Laserdisc.
Yeah, updated my whole movie library to Laserdisc. I bet you backed HD DVD too, didn't you?
You know what, actually? Whenever it was all going through, I really did. I mean, I'm not even trying to get a laugh out of it. I really did for two reasons. First of all, it seemed to me like having the name, DVD right in there would have been a huge boon, and they would have been like, okay, we're going to do great because we got the name. Obviously, the name, whatever is right there. It's right there in the name. So how could we do bad? But I was wrong.
The porn industry didn't back them. That's why. That's a single constant in the movie industry. As when a new format comes out, for some reason, every time when the porn industry backs one of them, that's the one that comes out in front.
Yeah.
Comes out in front.
Ew.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I know. Anyway, so there's a lot of Skyrim news. I'm sorry about that, but
that's all right. I like Skyrim.
I was gonna say I did pick it up recently and start playing it again. So that's probably
I have not. I'm actually waiting until I get to my new house, and once I get my new office set up, thinking about cracking it open and playing again.
Gotcha.
That'd be like a fun experience.
Woo, an experience.
Yeah, experiences.
All right, so Dawnguard is the new DLC for Skyrim that's going to be coming out. I'm really excited about this because I want new stuff to do. They've released a trailer, and by watching the trailer, what I've gathered is you've got a race of super vampires and a race, hunters that hunt them down with crossbows. Yes, crossbows are freaking awesome. I want a crossbow so bad. So you can basically join either side. And the super vampires, they kind of look like giant man-eating bats, which are kind of cool. You might be able to become one. And think about flying around Skyrim, you know?
Yeah, I was just thinking if it was the same concept as Werewolf.
That would be amazing. I would give up being a werewolf to become that kind of a vampire. The only reason I'm a werewolf right now is because when you're a werewolf, you can't get diseases. And I swear to God, Rock Joint was killing me every time.
It's so weird because I never, ever run into diseases. And if I run into a disease, it seems like it's so easy to find one of those people who are like, oh, here, I'll heal you.
Yeah.
I just run into those people, and I'm like, oh, hey, it's them. Cool.
Yeah, and see, I always have to go looking for the shrines to heal myself.
But they're just walking around, and I run into them.
Ugh. You got healers coming all over you.
They just walk around like, and they're like, I'm a traveling healer. And I'm like, good. Will you heal me? They're like, sure. No more Agarathus or whatever that rat disease is.
Yeah.
It seems to be the only thing they caught. But I was also a Nord, and I know that they are a little more.
Yeah, I think you have disease resistance there. So that's handy. I'm a night elf, I believe. A dark elf, I mean.
So you catch everything.
I pretty much do. I'm a frail little creature. With little pointy ears and red eyes. The red eyes should tell you something, you know? Yeah. I'm pretty much 24/7 sick.
Obviously, my immune system isn't up to date.
Exactly. All right. So, Dawn Guard, it will be coming out this summer on Xbox Live. It's going to be 1,600 Microsoft points, or $20 for those of us who actually use regular currency. Huh. And should be exclusive to the 360 for at least 30 days when it comes out. So, if you don't have a 360, shun the non-believer. That's all I got to say to you. Sorry.
Right. Usually PC gets everything ahead of us, so.
Yeah, they kind of do.
Which, can't complain too much.
You know, the PC will get like a beta. You know, like, I mean, PC got the 1.6 patch is a beta. So, you know, they got to handle it before we do, but hey. That's all right. I'm not going to hold it against them. What can you do? You actually, you know, we missed mentioning it, but you brought up a really good point. Recently, I said that in a conversation between us that there were a lot of, like, every time you see, like, a master gamer from a MMORPG or, like, a StarCraft or a World of Warcraft or anything like that, they always seem to be of some Asian descent, as stereotypical as that sounds. And
oh, yeah, all the top ones are.
Yeah, I mean, and you brought up a good point. And what was the number that you told me?
6 billion.
6 billion, and that's number of dollars that China is making off of MMOs.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like, God. I mean, well, that's a career over there too. You can be an MMO guy. Basically, all you do is, you know, play MMOs, and I don't even know where the money comes in. I honestly don't. Are you gold farming? Is that those people?
I guess maybe it is, you know? I mean,
I don't know.
But then again.
And they also, I mean, you got to think that the state, or well, I guess whatever you call it over there, you know, the actual government makes them do it in prison.
That's a good point.
So, I mean.
You know, and
it's doing something. We could use an extra $6 billion.
Yeah, and to be honest, I read a study that said that most stuff and gold that's sold on games like that, you know, again, it's against the rules for most games to sell your online items like that, to mine gold and sell it and farm gold like that. But it tends to be most of that stuff that is sold is actually just from stolen and hacked accounts. They don't. Nice. I mean, they do farm it, but. Instead of just wasting all their time farming, they, you know, get accounts from people who have tried to buy gold from them and just turn around and steal all their stuff and sell it. So
that's what I do.
Which, I believe it or not, has actually happened to me in World of Warcraft. But ironically,
yeah, we had a conversation about that before.
Yeah,
you got hacked.
I got hacked, but I never use those sites. My account has been shut down twice. Once because it got hacked. And I emailed Blizzard, and they were nice enough to reset everything for me, and I started right back where I was. And then I got a mobile authenticator to put on it. So that means it's a random number generator. You have to put in that number every time you put in your password. Then you put in that number. And that,
yeah, and there's a lot of – if you get stuff in a pre-order or things like that, that's like one of those things now that people are getting as like little keychain dongles that have those built into them.
Exactly.
Pretty cool.
Exactly, and that's what I have. So, you know, that lands another layer of protection on it. And then my account gets shut down again because they say that I was gold farming. And I, you know, I asked for clarification, and why do you think I'm gold farming? They said, well, because your character spent, 4 hours doing nothing but mining and then sold all the materials. And I said, it's because I spent 4 hours mining to sell all the materials to get the money to buy something I wanted. It's like, I'm not, I didn't transfer the gold.
So basically they're punishing you for being a huge loser.
Yeah. Well, basically, you know, they're punishing me from hoarding is basically what they're doing.
They're sir, we put a warning on your account because frankly, we think you need to get a life.
Exactly. Pretty much. And I was in a dark place, you know. So
tell you what, man, like people say stuff about video games being expensive, but on the flip side, if you already own a video game that you haven't played yet, they're the best thing to waste so much time.
Oh yeah.
Or if you're like me and you can play a game that you've played a million times, just, you know, you can play it once a year.
Exactly.
We'll get to that later whenever we talk about what we're playing right now.
Nice. All right. Next thing on our list here. Do you know much about this? This next thing?
The fighting game?
Yes.
I know enough.
I would absolutely love for you to tell me about it.
All right. Well, do you remember DC versus Mortal Kombat?
Vaguely, yes.
Okay. Well, that's everybody, by the way. Vaguely. Oh, yeah. That came out. Well, it actually did fairly well and had a really good following. Now, it was awkward because the Mortal Kombat characters are cool, so are the DC characters, but people were disappointed in the lack of DC characters that were there. They wish there were some others that you could have gotten. Also, you could only unlock two characters, and that was the final boss on both sides, which that's kind of lame, because usually like Mortal Kombat's kind of been known for, since I guess Mortal Kombat, you know, like two or three, as just, you know, being able to get so many extra characters. And so I don't know where they decided to do it, but there's a game coming out called Injustice: Gods Among Us. And Injustice, to me, is trying to harken to the Injustice Gang, which is, of course, the Anti-Justice League. And that's great and all, because it's all the DC characters in a fighting game. But you would think they'd put DC in there. I imagine by the end of this, once this game gets released, it's going to be called DC Injustice, which makes sense to me. And it's going to be a fighting game that involves all the DC characters. Only DC characters. No Mortal Kombat characters this time. But it's a slight redesign for each character. The Flash has a very armored look to him. Wonder Woman has one of her real modern costume with pants in it. There's a Superman costume that looks more like his costume that he wears now in the New 52. And it's just a weird, awkward fighting game. So it should be pretty cool to see what happens. I'm excited about it because I like fighting games, except it's like I only want one or two fighting games. So to me, it's got to really be worth it, and I feel like this could be worth it because obviously it's DC. I like DC. Who doesn't like DC? So it should be fun. Other than that, there's really nothing. Other than people just going, why don't you put the name Superman? Why don't you put the name Batman? Why don't you put the name DC in this? It just doesn't make sense. So
it really doesn't. You know, I mean, you would think you'd want to monopolize on that.
Well, yeah, the Lego games, they wanted to put all the DC characters in a Lego game, and they're like, we'll call it Lego DC, we'll call it Lego Justice League, we'll call it Lego this, Lego that, and because Lego Batman did so well, the name of it is Lego Batman 2, Batman and Friends or something like that. And it's like that's because they really, really wanted to have Batman in it. You know, they're like, well, Batman is what did well before, so we'll put Batman in there now.
Exactly. They, since it did so well, they wanted a sequel, but they wanted to add everyone else in there too to bring in people who didn't just like Batman.
Yeah, exactly.
So that makes sense.
So it was pretty interesting. I can't wait to see how it turns out, what it is, you know, when it actually gets to the point where I actually see things about it. So, I don't know. Once it's done, I'll have some friends over and we'll all fight on it. That'd be fun. So anyway, the next thing, actually, speaking of comic books and games, it seems like this game just is falling apart every time anything ever happens, and that's the new Avengers game. It's like you hear, oh yeah, it's happening, and then all of a sudden it's not happening, and then now it looks like it's definitely happening, but we're not sure when. I mean, there's really nothing other than what I just said. That's the story. We don't know when. It's kind of ridiculous that that's the story, but there you go. So we'll see where it happens with that.
Yeah, I mean, was there any doubt that was going to happen, though?
I mean, I really don't want it to be – I mean, the fact that they scrapped it, the original idea, I'm happy because the original idea was like one of those terrible movie games. And those are just so bad. And so this new idea, it seems like maybe they're going to go more along the lines of the great Ultimate Alliance stuff and kind of give you an idea of maybe some more people than just the core Avengers and stuff like that. So I'm actually excited. It's going to be pretty neat whenever it all comes together. So, and then, of course, I can't think of the name of the company that's even doing it. I can't remember now. I mean, Disney basically has a video game company, and I just can't think of them. But they're going to be the ones who are going to be controlling it. So.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with them. And that's really all I got, superhero-related game stuff, which, of course, it's me.
Awesome. All right, I got one more story for you. And this one's a closing statement on a very long story. Do you remember when Activision had a falling out with Infinity Ward and Jason West and Vince Zampella ended up like leaving the company and starting a new company, and it was a huge thing where they sued for the bonuses that Activision screwed them out of, and I mean Activision just was a horrible, horrible, horrible person basically, and treated their employees and treated Infinity Ward like complete and utter crap and wouldn't let them do anything.
Yes, actually, surprisingly, I do remember this. It
was a huge stink.
I remember Activision just like really, really reaming some people just for no reason.
Exactly.
Just kind of going out of their way to make it trouble.
Yeah, it was a huge stink. So it's supposed to go to court. They were, Activision was being sued for this. Well, the case will never see the courtroom. It has been settled. It is done. It is over with. It's through.
That means quite a bit of money has passed hands.
Well,
that's
what
that means.
Because Jason West and Vince Zampella both said that Activision owed them around $26 million in contractual bonus royalties for the games. Now, if you settle and a company owes you $26 million, they got really close to that number,
Oh yeah, they are,
and because of
60% or more.
Yeah, and because of all the crap that Activision got themselves into because of this, Activision opened their wallet because they didn't want a PR nightmare.
Well, yeah, they opened their wallet to open their heart.
Yeah, I'm sure it was their heart. Activision opens their wallet to show their heart, and I'd stab them in it.
Yeah, Activision is
them and EA. I don't give a crap.
I would say EA is, of course, they're becoming more and more of just Satan. It's like there's no video game companies out there anymore that just seem like they're good guys. Everything is so. I mean, you would think the video game industry, being what it is, would have a lot of cool guys in it that are kind of having fun and are doing this for whatever. But God, it just seems like money is such a problem.
Well, yeah, and see,
with anything,
the problem is that all these small studios, you've got the big names in game publishing, you've got Activision, you've got EA, and the problem with this is that these companies pretty much control the industry, to where the studios have to go through a publisher just to get their game on the market, and the problem with that is that these studios who are filled with the kind of guys you like, the kind of guys who just want to make great games, who are intelligent people who love sitting in front of a monitor all day long and just cranking out winners, have to go through these greedy bastard companies to get their game put out on the market. So like I say, I hate EA. I hate them with a passion because the number one reason is their little code system where you have to buy the game new and get the code to play it online. If you don't buy it new, you don't have a code. You have to pay $10 to get the code to play it online. That is freaking ridiculous. That's a whole nother conversation, but it is ridiculous. That's why I hate EA. But the actual studios aren't the ones putting that into their games. That's EA. So you really want to not buy these games because of things like that, but then you're also hurting the studios. So EA and Activision, you know, like I said, greedy companies kind of have you by the short and curlies. You know, which is a euphemism for having you by your taint hair.
Oh, I agree. I was letting you go.
No.
See, but yeah,
I wanted to explain that just in case somebody out there didn't understand.
It's a sad, sad world we live in. Whenever something is what is considered juvenile as video games is such a dark, dark company.
Truly is.
So,
all right.
Anyway,
you want to go ahead and tell the people what you're playing?
Oh, huh. Okay. So, first of all, I'm going to get made fun of for this. It's ridiculous.
No problem.
I had talked about it before. I was like saying I was replaying a bunch of PS2 games and PS1 games and stuff. I'm replaying right now a game that I had actually never finished 100%, but I've owned. It's a classic, you know, turn-based RPG called Saga Frontier. Great game. The backgrounds in it are all like watercolored and stuff. I mean, it's a freaking beautiful game. Not necessarily the best gameplay, and I know that critics kind of tore it apart because they said it was confusing and it was the way it was made was almost too long because you're given like 8 separate people and you got to finish all their stories. And a lot of the stories are a lot of the same thing, so you got to do the same thing over again 8 times just to finish the game all the way. Well, I had never finished it 100% because there's a lot to the game. A lot to this game. There's creature types. There's monsters, and they transform. There's mystics, and they can absorb monsters. And you have to really kind of weigh in what is working with what because that's the only way to make your guys as strong as possible. And it's difficult. It's a very difficult process. It's just funny thinking about it because, like, I'm playing it now, and as I'm older and I can understand the math of it a lot better and things like that, I'm actually doing so much better. But I just find it funny, like, playing back now going, wow, this game is pretty intricate. I can't believe it. It didn't do great. So that's what I'm replaying is a PS1 RPG called Saga Frontier.
Gotcha.
I suggest it for anybody who likes classic, you know, old school classic RPGs. If anybody that likes that stuff, then pick up the game, play it, you'll like it. I'm enjoying myself, so.
Cool. I'm an overachiever this month. I had 3 games. But, you know, I'm cool like that, right? Anyway, so the first one, I don't remember if I talked about this game on our last episode or not. It's Sniper Elite V2. It's the sequel to the old 2005 game Sniper Elite. So, you know, you can go back and listen to that episode because I probably ranted and raved about it. It is still an amazing game.
Yeah. But were like, oh, I had my first erection and I ejaculated as I shot the bullet.
I don't know if I said that, but
yeah, basically.
If you sum the entire conversation up, maybe that's what it meant.
Totally.
However, I have been playing more online co-op from the game. Instead, back then I was just playing the single player. The online co-op is really amazing. So if you have the game, definitely log in, find someone that you can co-op with, and it's a lot of fun. They only have 3 game modes, but they're really good. Very well played out. I too went back in time and hit a new game. I went and I reserved my copy of Hitman Absolution. And because of that, I came home and immediately loaded up my copy of Hitman Blood Money and started playing that. That was the most recent. And it's it is still such an amazing game. It just is. I mean, the graphics.
I never liked the Hitman games. I know that you absolutely love the Hitman games, though.
Dude, if I had to pick one franchise, if I could only play one franchise ever again, it would be Hitman. Because, I mean, I have played the levels in that game probably hundreds upon hundreds of times, and I still love playing them. Just having to plan out every little thing you do. You know, every disguise, every guy's neck you crack, every bullet you send down range, it just really makes that game intense. I get a kick out of it. So, You can go. I think it was on Xbox, the original Xbox, but it also got released for the 360. So you can go and find a copy of it. A friend of mine priced them recently. You're looking in the literally like the $5-$10 range for a used copy. So, you know, go pick that up if you haven't played it yet, especially if you're going to be playing Hitman Absolution, because the story does continue from Hitman Blood Money. So play through that one, hear the story. It is a great story. And then you'll be ready for Absolution when it comes out in September, I think. No, November. Yeah, comes in November. I think Borderlands comes out in September. I got so many reserved games, it's ridiculous. The other one, and you will probably enjoy this one, Brandon, and this is just kind of one of those time wasters. I found a game on my iPad called Catan HD, and it is the Settlers of Catan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it is the board game Settlers of
That's
Catan
funny.
On my iPad, and it's amazing.
Well, you're probably already better than me. That's a game that, like, at the shop we played a lot, and I'm just terrible at it.
Really?
Oh, my God, I'm so bad at it. And I'm good at strategy games. I'm so good at them.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is with that game, but I become dumb as soon as I start playing it. I'm like, I'm going to trade flour.
Brandon, like, build roads.
Yeah, it's like I'm so bad at it. And then, like, I never quite get the fences part correct.
Yeah.
So I'm always really bad at that. I just am bad at it. So
yeah, it's definitely a really great little game. I think it's like $4. If you like Settlers of Catan, there's no reason to not spend that kind of money. You know, because you can also – the great thing is that if you want to take a version of Settlers of Catan with you and you don't want to have to lug the whole board and the cards and all that crap around, this allows you to set up four – actual people as players, so you can just pass your iPad around, or you can play like I've been playing with three computer players and myself, because I'm lonely. But if you
so
like
so lonely,
yeah, I'm fearing so lonely. If you like the game, check it out. It's definitely worth it. It is a one-on-one rendition of Settlers of Catan. It's a great game. Hey, on a side note, just got an email. Guess what? I am
what?
An ordained minister.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
It's actually a long story. But I am now Reverend Miller, just so you know. So get that.
Damien and I went to do that, and Damien actually finished his out. I did not.
I did.
I just kind of, as it was like, there's like a $13 thing, and I'm like, I don't want to pay $13.
Oh, no. I didn't pay. I'll tell you a story later. Anyway, right. So I can now marry people, just in case anyone wants to be married on the podcast. We might be able to get that worked out for you. All right.
I'm sure people will be flocking.
I'm sure they will be.
Let's get married on a podcast.
It'll be fantastic. It'll be the greatest thing ever. Anyway, all right. That is our show for today. Brandon, do you want to tell the people where they can find, follow, and or stalk you?
Well, of course, you can find me in my natural habitat, which is
Studebaker.
Twitter. What?
I said a Studebaker.
Oh, yes. That's the bear's natural habitat.
I knew you'd get that.
I am actually will be found on Twitter quite often. I do have times where I just kind of disappear, but I'm usually always doing something on Twitter. I try to keep my Brandonites happy with funny things. I got a funny response today. I said about Alan Scott, who's Green Lantern of Earth 2. They revealed today that he's gay. And I said, Alan Scott's gay. I go, that makes sense. He always had a weakness for wood. Because the original Alan Scott, Green Lantern, was weak against wood. Now he's gay. So it was a funny joke. And one of my followers sent me a link. And that was all it was. And I'm like, what is this? So I click on the link. And it's Orson Welles clapping and Citizen Kane. And it was really funny. So I was like, oh, that's funny. So.
Nice.
Go on there and every once in a while I have some gold. Like apparently the spam joke I made, that thing there blew up online. So follow me on Twitter. I'm at Brando Supreme. Apparently I'm freaking hilarious. So
apparently.
I have people like me more than they like Jesse, that's for sure.
Obviously, man.
Yeah. I tried to get Jesse followers and
I even tried to bribe people. It's not working.
Yeah. It's crazy. Although I don't have a lot of followers, but
I am at 99 right now.
Oh man, you're so close.
I know, right? It's freaking killing me. When I get to 150, I will give away something. You know, I mean, I get so many review books that I have just stacking up on my desk. I will pick a random person and just ask. I will send them a list of books, and they can pick one, and I will send it to them. You know, so they even get the choice of their book. So nice. Please, you know, get your friend. And you're only one. It's a chance of 1 in 150. I mean, come on.
I'll tell you what, man. I sent in. I tried to do that. Well, I was like, I had some comics and stuff, some valuable stuff that I don't really care that much about. It's like a J.G. Jones signed issue of Wanted, a signed art book by Simon Beisley, and I have a signed issue of Kong, King of Skull Island. So this is unique stuff, I'd say. I mean, obviously anybody can get their issue signed, but each signature is going to be different, so any signature is unique. So it is unique book signed by, you know, creators and stuff like that. And I actually was losing followers because people hate that stuff. So I don't know.
Well, I only said it once, so hopefully nobody hates me.
It's weird. Twitter is a fickle mistress. With that being said,
my turn. All right, you can find me on Twitter at Pen of Doom. Not that you care, obviously. You can email me Jesse@8daysofgeek.com. You can find everything else about me on, get this, about.me/
what?
Jesse Miller. I know, right? How simple is that? That's just amazing. That's soda. Anyway, so that's the best place to find me, about.me/ Jesse Miller. You can find everything. It's, I mean, I can't make it any simpler, really, you know? It's just, can you think of a way I can make it simpler?
If you mailed everybody a detailed explanation of you,
I'll get right on that. Just send me your send
other
me your
than
addresses.
That, I can't think of anything.
All right. If you want to leave us a text message or a voicemail, you can call 754-273-6397.
Hold on. I was busy inking my quill. What did you say?
He's writing with the big pen again. 754
the biggest pin
273-6397. He's got the big feathery pin again. All right, guys, thanks for joining us for this episode of Brandon and Jesse's 8 Bits. Come back next month where we'll be talking about all the E3 stuff. I'm sure there'll be all kinds of it coming out. And check for 8daysgeek.com where we'll be covering some of the E3 stories, I'm sure, as they roll off the presses. Brandon, say goodbye.
Bye, good. Dang it.
I love it.
Start.